your friends pretend they know sports. WFAN actually does. Get smarter, louder, and way more annoying at watch parties. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
Not a damn thing, other than we woke up, right? Wake up, let's go. How's your boy been? McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 405. As I got you for another 54 minutes and 23 seconds. All the way till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side, and we are coming off a miserable night of baseball, which is pretty damn common around these parts lately, as both the Mets and the Yankees with extra inning, gut punch losses, difficult losses in the middle of maybe not losing streaks, but for the Yankees it is, but losing ways as the Mets have lost 6 of 7. You get to watch them early. The Yankees started at 8, Mets at 7. You watch that game. You watch them fall behind. Manaea pitching, you know, pretty damn well through 5, blows up in the 6, 5-0. With a little help from their friends. Oh, right there. Good morning, Sergeant Pepper. How about that? With a little help from their friends in Cleveland, they get a 3-run bomb after blowing a double play. Alonso hits the 3-run home run. They come back and tie the game at 5. A base-running decision that leads to them not being able to come through. An error in the 10th from Beatty. And away we go, 7-6. Mets lose to Cleveland. Have now lost 6 of 7 coming off of their 7-game winning streak. They are now a game and a half behind the Philadelphia Phillies, who won last night, and then the New York Yankees in spectacular fashion get walked off 8-5 against Texas. And the main component of this game, that it's now time to finally say 100%, there is no doubt, and I do think, without admitting it, Aaron Boone said the same thing, Devin Williams is no longer the closer of the New York Yankees. As the Yankees jump out to an early lead, Max Fried not good enough again over the last month, despite as good as he's been off of losses. I think he's still 10-1 this year after losses, as he gets no decision last night. Not good enough, takes a 3-run lead, throws it out the window, gives up 4 runs in the second. The Yankees do rally back, 2-run home run from Stanton, take a lead, and then they go through the cavalcade of relievers, and all of them work. You get Weaver comes in, lights out. You get Doval comes in, lights out. You get Bednar comes in, lights out. And then Devin Williams in the 9th with a 1-run lead against Jacques Peterson, who the broadcast couldn't shut up about how fat he is and how terrible he is, at 130, hitting 130 this year with only 2 home runs. Devin Williams hangs a changeup right down the middle or low and in. Peterson hits it out. The Yankees lose in extras as they get walked off. They're unable to come through. Wells can't get a sacrifice fly. In fact, he hits into a double play in the top of the 10th, and the Yankees continue to lose 4 in a row now off of the trade deadline, 4 in a row now off of the 3-game winning streak against Tampa Bay. They don't win road games in extra innings. It's all compiling up to be just the same crap we see on a nightly basis, where they are literally fighting with themselves to find which is the worst loss of the season over and over again. But Devin Williams now must be done as the closer of the New York Yankees. That's it. That's the last time we can see him in the 9th inning. They have other options. They attacked the trade deadline and got Bednar and got Doval. They still have, obviously, Weaver, who is good in this game. They have other options to be the closer of the New York Yankees, and that has to be the last time we see him. That was another just gut punch of a loss, a game that means so much against Texas, who is now only a game and a half out of the playoffs as the Yankees are tied with Seattle for the 2nd and 3rd wild card teams. I mean, really, if you look at it, off of that 3-game winning streak against Tampa, the trade deadline, playing a Miami team that's been better, but you go into that building, you have a 6-0 lead from that moment on. Even forget that 9-4. 9-4, a 5-run lead against Miami, looking like you're about to take 4 straight games. Toronto lost that night. You could have jumped up to 2.5 back in first place. And from that moment on, the Yankees have just not showed up. The Yankees have made critical mistakes. The Yankees either don't hit or they don't pitch or their bullpen blows it. It's just been, on a nightly basis, one element of their team letting them down every single time. We went through all the different elements of this game. We'll still take your calls on it. 888-808-1019. But the New York Yankees and the New York Mets right now struggling to find a groove as they are battling for either division or their playoff lives for the New York Yankees. And it's just night in and night out, both of these teams are finding ways to lose. But the Yankees seem to do it in spectacular fashion. 888-808-1019. We'll get back to the calls here. No more Devin Williams. And I'm not too fond of Bird either, as he gives up a three-run bomb to end it in the bottom of the 10th. And Aaron Boone and the New York Yankees, whether it's urgency, whether it's accountability, whether it's analytics, what other word we wanted to classify it is, the New York Yankees have lost four in a row. They find ways to lose every single night. They are now only a game and a half up Texas with two more to go, with Nathan Eovaldi against Will Warren later today. This close to being out of the postseason. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
T-Mac, my guy. I would say good morning, but you were correct in your assertion that
there is nothing good about it. No.
But I hope you are fine despite all of the BS. So, listen, I'm going to spit some fire here, right? As far as Devin Williams, and I want to address some stuff that was said on these airways in the afternoon, too. I'm not sure if you, because I know you don't always have an opportunity to catch it because you're catching a nap or whatever. I think some pretty, I hear you. Hopefully you did. Some pretty irresponsible things were said by, I'm not going to mention the name. You know, there were two people filling in. So, you know, as far as the Yankees culture, listen, that's irresponsible. That's reckless. That's dumb. It's stupid and all those adjectives. You want to question if they're good enough? Fine. But I don't think people were questioning their culture last year. And literally, one of the hosts said, these guys don't like each other, when it was easy to say such dumb things in the middle of June. And then, next thing you know, they're 8-1 or something in the American League playoffs on their way to the World Series.
8-2, but don't talk about it. No, you can't bring up the World Series last year. It's meaningless, pointless. It was easy to get there, and it means absolutely nothing.
Yes, and you know what? I'm not throwing in the towel here either. Remember, the Mets were the third wild card last year, and they made noise. This Yankee team with the additions, with the bullpen, other than Jake Bird, who I sports despise almost as much as I sports despise Devin Williams, who, can we check where, you know, if he was born biologically American? This guy had no stones, no cojones. Last year, Pete Alonso got him. Yep. And, you know, that could have been, you know, that could have been like a coincidence or whatever, or aberration, but apparently not. This guy is a complete bum. He makes Clay Holmes, who people are calling Clay Holmes, look like he was Mariano Rivera, and I'm longing for those days when he was blowing 13 games. But I think that's all I got, T-Mac.
I hear you, Ray. Look, today doesn't feel like the day for it because we're all furious. I'm furious. I don't know if this team has it in them. I don't know. They just continue to make, you know. And again, the manager of decisions last night, I had a problem with Friday. You know how I feel about Aaron Boone. I think it's overblown. I think the accountability thing is a little overblown, although there's absolutely something to it. I think the urgency is more an issue with Aaron Boone and the Yankees, and the idea that, hey, with the Yankees, we'll be fine. I think that's more of a problem than necessarily pulling guys off the field, but both are a problem. That's fine. Both are a problem. But whatever the case may be, they're dramatically underachieving. And I still do think that the team is good enough, if they play their best baseball, to do anything they want. Like, they can accomplish the whole damn thing. I still feel that way. The Mets, same thing, too. The Mets are good enough to win the whole thing. The Yankees are good enough to win the whole thing. But right now, they are not playing like it. Right now, it's hard to imagine that. And while, yes, I feel that way, it's not the main feelings I have right now. The main feelings I have right now are they better figure out this bullpen situation, because I can tell you till I'm blue in the face that the arms are better out there since the trade deadline. They've had two opportunities to save games, and they've blown it both. They've blown both of them with the new guys and with our old tried and true method of blowing games with Devin Williams. So they've had two opportunities, 0-2 since the trade deadline. They've got to figure out the bullpen. Weaver cannot be the closer. I think the offense, now that Judge is coming back later today, I think the offense is fine. I don't think it's like guaranteed to go out there and be the best. We've seen the offense struggle in postseasons over and over and over again. That's typically why they lose. So I'm not telling you that this offense is guaranteed to go be productive in the postseason. Who knows? They might get shut out every single game. I have no idea. But I think the offense is good enough. I think it's deep enough. I think they have enough answers there. I think the bullpen just added a bunch of answers at the trade deadline. The rotation scares me. But yeah, if you're asking me, do I think the season's over? Hell no, I don't think the season's over. There's 49 games to play. Do I think the Yankees can get into the postseason? I think I still expect them to get into the postseason. Can they do damage once they get there? Absolutely. We've seen teams that are worse than the Yankees do damage. Will they? I have no idea. Do I feel like they will? No, I don't. Not watching them right now, I don't. Because they find ways to lose, whether it's the offense goes dormant for a couple of days, whether the starting pitching doesn't give them enough, whether the bullpen blows it, whether they make a critical mistake by either with the field or the base path. Like, they are just finding ways to lose. And that's literally the definition of a bad team. So there is no doubt, since mid-June, this has been a bad team. Do I think that there's enough there roster-wise to be a much better team? I do. But as Boone just said the other day, talk is cheap. Right now, they're not playing like it. Right now, they're not playing like it. And they've got to find a way to stabilize this thing and figure out a way to get back on track because, I mean, it's not over. They got 49 games left to play. They can still, it's all right there in front of them. Limo Driver Ed, what's up, Limo Driver Ed?
Trying to survive, brother. I'll tell you one thing. You know, if you look at the Mets and you say, well, hey, you know, they leave all these guys on base, and I don't know if they leave the league of doing that. But one thing about it is that at least if you are, you're getting guys on base. Problem is, you're bringing them home. I mean,
The Mets with runners in scoring position have been a disaster this year for the most part. Absolutely.
The whole year. Yeah. The whole year. You know, just like, and I love your Yankees too, but if you don't have Judge not doing his thing, and you don't have Soto doing his thing and always want to walk, I mean, what the hell are you paying for all this money? This guy got to come through, you know? And Pete, he's trying right now. He's trying to get back into the groove. I mean, it's just Lador. I don't know what he's doing, swinging at high pitches that's out of the strike zone.
Yeah.
You know, and them guys, and when it comes down to it, sit them down, man. The guy plays every game. Sit these guys down.
Yeah, I mean, Lindor.
They play these guys every game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's it, Ed. Lindor definitely did have the toe injury, and I don't know if that is either still lingering or, you know, just forced him into bad habits by trying to avoid putting pressure on it, because sometimes that can happen. But whatever the case may be, it felt like he played through that toe injury, and since then, it just hasn't been the same for him. Alonso, had an issue where he got hit in the hand or something. He's got an issue that he's been battling through, but like they just got to be better at throwing as a scoring position. And it's such a weird, like, it used to be the bottom of the order was killing them. And when the top of the order hit, they won. When the top of the order didn't, they lost. And it's kind of getting back to that because, look, Mullins hit the ball hard a couple times, right? Hit a bullet right to the outfielder in a key spot that just didn't go his way. But we'll see what his addition is. Vientos was on an 11-game hitting streak. We saw Mauricio over the last couple weeks have a couple big home runs, a couple big spots. You see the talent oozing out of him. It's not just there yet consistently, but you could see it in him that he has the ability to be a pretty damn good powerful hitter. Beatty has cooled off, obviously, but the bottom of the order has, with Alvarez's return and Marte's return, it's been better over the last couple weeks, but it's the top of the order that's really not getting it done, Lindor and Alonso specifically. And even Soto not coming through with enough clutch hits. And it's been their issue for how long now? Yeah, Nimmo was 0 for 4 with 5 strikeouts tonight. And I feel like we haven't mentioned his name. He's been better since moving to the top of the order. But still, yeah, not good enough. 0 for 5 with 4 strikeouts last night. Not good enough. I know they all had multiple hits. Last night, maybe that is not the exact reason. Lindor drops one in down the line, sets up that first and third. Alonso hit the big three home run, a couple of hits from Lindor, but now with runners in scoring position. It just feels like it hasn't been enough from the top of the order. Those main guys haven't been enough as of late. And with the pitching, I think starting pitching clearly has become an issue. Montas has not been good. Clay Holmes is in the worst stretch he's had this season. Plus, the innings just aren't there. But the bullpen was added at the trade deadline. I still think that's the same thing. Right now, they've lost 5 out of 6 off the 7-game winning streak. Game and a half behind Philadelphia. They've got to turn around, but I think they have everything they would need to possibly go on a run, too. So, like, it's on a nightly basis where they just continue to find ways to lose, both of these teams. The Yankees just do it louder. They do it in more spectacular fashion, more just like unbelievable. How did that even happen on a baseball field? Kind of losses. Brett in Long Island, what's up, Brett?
3 calls ago, I told you Volpe's got to go. He defended him. 2 calls ago, I said there was 4 teams better than the Yankees in the American League. You didn't agree. My last call, I told you not to celebrate the trade deadline until it panned out, and you hung up on me. Now who's the dope, Chris?
Well, I probably just hung up on you because, you know, you're a jerk half the time. But, I mean, listen, I had some fun being the Yankee Cashman shill, and I went off and had a good time, and I was, like, half sarcastically saying, it's a good day, it's a good day. I said that all morning. Yes, we all know things have to play out like the NFL draft. Like, obviously, things have to play out. I still think, and will tell you right now, I believe Brian Cashman had a really good trade deadline. I think the arms he got are good. I think McMahon has been an impactful player. They have 49 games to play. We've seen the trade deadline for 4 games. One of them was really immediate, you know, repudiation of the deadline by having all 3 of the relievers suck and Caballero blow the ball in right field, but I still think it's a good trade deadline. I'm not going to change my mind on that just because they've lost 4 games. I still think that they got really impactful arms. We saw Bednar and Doval pitch really well last night. So now they're going to be thrown into the closer situation, but I think they're going to be fine. And again, Anthony Volpe's offense has come around, and he hasn't made an egregious error in the last couple of days, so I feel better about that.
And another thing, you said the Blue Jays are a fraud. And another thing, you said that you do this a lot. You go back to the Yankees were just in the World Series last year. I remember one year out when the Giants had gone to the division round, whenever I brought that up, what Daniel Jones did, you always said, you know, that was then, now they suck. The Yankees suck right now.
They do.
So why do you ever bring up last year? If right now the current Yankees teams aren't good. So make that logical.
Okay, here we go.
Okay,
you ready for it? Are you ready? Okay, here's how it's logical.
Some of the Yankees and Giants aren't the same.
They're not the same.
I want to know why the Yankees...
Because the Yankees are still in a playoff position, and the Giants were dead 4 weeks in. If you don't think there's a difference there, Brent, I don't know what to tell you. Yes, they suck right now. They're also 7 games... Okay, you don't stop. And I'm not bringing up... Because when we say that's the one aberration, the Yankees are in the playoffs every year. The Daniel Jones era had 1 playoff win in it, surrounded by years of dead by week 5. Again, you're just trying to make this a giant Yankee thing and somehow get into my fandom and how I'm unfair to the Giants and ridiculously positive about the Yankees when you don't see the correlation. 23 is the 1 year the Yanks don't make the playoffs. And the first year of Brian Daboll is the 1 year the Giants did make the playoffs. And every other year, they were dead before the 5th week of the season. That's the difference. And even now, as we say the Yankees suck, they are currently in a playoff spot. I wouldn't have felt that same way if the Giants were currently sitting in a wild card spot, Brett. There is a difference between 3 wins and being the 3rd wild card. And I talk about the World Series because people act as if the entire thing is broken. And I'm just saying, I don't know how you get to the World Series broken. Are there issues? Of course. Are there problems? Yes. Are there lingering concerns that have been there throughout, you know, the last couple of years? Of course. Of course. But I'm just saying, Boone's an idiot. He's the worst manager. They'll never win anything. They were a couple of wins away from the World Series. Like, that's all. I mean, I'm just trying to say, let's just have some sort of, like, I don't think Boone's a good manager. Fair. I think it's time to move on from Boone. He's been here long enough. No championships. You know, fair. They're playing poorly now. But, like, the idea he's never done anything right, and he's never got this team to anywhere, and he's never done a damn thing. And he's like, when he's won three divisions and went to a World Series last year. That's my only point bringing it up when people go overboard. I'm not trying to throw a parade for it, but when people go nuts and say this franchise is a disaster and it's miserable being a Yankee fan and Aaron Boone's the worst, I can't stare at his face. And I'm like, okay, but last year we were staring at his face during the national anthem of the World Series. That's all. That's all. I don't understand how Brett doesn't understand the difference between the Giants and the Yankees. I don't know why, and I don't know why you are desperate to try and get me on some logical thing about it. Like, stop. The Giants have been atrocious as a franchise since their last Super Bowl. And, like, we want to say the Yankees have been atrocious as a franchise since their last World Series championship. Look at the difference. The difference is Aaron Boone, for all his faults, and right now there are plenty, Aaron Boone, for all his faults, has a top 10 winning percentage in the history of baseball to start a career. The history of baseball. The Giants have gone through how many coaches who can't win more than six games in a season? Like, stop. 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 The seasons are over by Halloween, man. They're non-competitive. They're non-competitive. The Yankees stink right now, no doubt. No doubt. The Yankees were in first place for the first 70 games of the year. When's the last time the Giants were in first place? When's the last time the Giants were in first place for a second? I'm not trying to praise the Yankees or throw parades. I'm just saying, like, the idea that you can't understand why a fan of both teams would look at them differently when they are as drastically different as you could possibly be. I don't know what to tell you. If the Giants were playing in the Super Bowl last year, I'd feel a hell of a lot different about them. And if someone called me up and said the Giants are broken, I'd say they were in the Super Bowl last year. That's exactly what I would say. I did the same thing with the Knicks. Oh, you got to fire Tibbs. He was in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. I say the same thing. I say the same thing. What am I supposed to say about the Giants exactly? What am I supposed to say about the Giants exactly? They won a road playoff game 3 years ago. It doesn't have the same ring.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
So, you know, speaking about the Giants, with Brett there, obviously, I don't know if you saw it yesterday, but one of the great moments in WFAN history, and lucky enough for me, I happen to be sitting right where Fliegelman is sitting now on the other side of the glass, running the board for it, was when Mike took the phone call from Dan in Warwick, which at the time I don't think I knew would be where I would, you know, raise my family, but I am. So, Warwick.
You think you've ever met Dan not knowing it was him?
Maybe. I probably have. I don't know, but he's unfortunate.
The food shopping.
Probably. Unfortunately, he sounds like a curmudgeon. If I have to see him, I got to tell him to lighten up. He went on with Sal and did not sound happy about this whole thing. But anyway, Dan and Warwick many years ago called Francesa and asked, you know, in a very, like, it's obvious, and Dan admitted that it was obviously a troll job and a prank call, but he did it in such an amazing way where he really did make himself sound like he believed what he was saying. It was really well done. And he asked about the Giants, the New York Giants and the San Francisco Giants, if they ever get together and, you know, have a gathering or something to celebrate the idea that they're both franchises named Giants. And Mike had a great, you know, Mike went on a great rant and he talked about the Rangers and the Texas Rangers and, you know, Lundqvist and Hugh Darvish are particularly close. And it was just like, it was tremendous. It's a very famous phone call. It's a moment that Evan ranked as the greatest moment in WFAN history. Now, I don't know about that, but It was pretty funny when I was on the other side of it. So today, the New York Giants released a video. It is the greatest thing I've ever seen. It was so funny. I was tipped off to it for about an hour before it came out. And I got to tell you, if you haven't seen it, go on Twitter. Go to the Giants Twitter. It is the funniest thing ever. It is Eli Manning and Sean O'Hara sitting at the table with Chapman and Webb, the ace starting pitcher and the third baseman from the San Francisco Giants. And they're sitting there and they're, you know, it's like a big thing, a big poster that says, you know, Giants gathering, and Sean O'Hara, they have party favors and party hats and everything. And it starts with Mike walking down the hallway. And then Francesa enters the room. And Mike does a great job. Now, Mike was, you know, in the Adam Sandler movie, Uncut Gems. And he did a great job as a bookie. Did an incredible job. He really did. He was fantastic in it. And I think this might be his best acting job yet, because he enters the room. And just the editing of the video, too. They cut to Eli staring back at him. Mike walks into the room. He looks up at the sign that says Giant Gathering. And then Mike, you know, looks at them and says this.
They really do get together.
It's the annual meetup. He walks in, he looks up at the sign, he looks at them, and he just says, they really do get together. And he walks out of the room. It is perfect. And while they're waiting, Sean O'Hara blows the party favor. Like, it was the, you know, one of those like snake things that the noisemaker. It was tremendous. If you haven't seen the video, you have to go see it. I don't know who came up with that idea. I don't know what made them want to do it. Obviously, I know it was filmed recently when the Giants were in town playing the Mets. So it was filmed this week. But I don't know who came up with it. It's a tremendous, tremendous video. And it's one of those moments that Mike is I'm always asked about it. I'm still asked about it. I mean, I think there's a handful. There's the, you know, the during the interview with Sweeney that everybody asks about and talks about, you know, kind of dozing off a little bit for a second. If he did, allegedly, I can't speak to whether he did or not. But allegedly falling asleep with Sweeney, or turn my mic on. That's another one everybody asks me about. Or it's never you, Jim, at the event with Russo. And the best one with that is Russo's like, I'll be right back on the Fan as they're yelling at each other. So there's like a couple of those moments that are, you know, very famous that everybody asked me about, that I'm sure Mike hears about, that are one of those moments in WFAN history. And that call from Dan and Warwick is absolutely one of them. And for the Giants to make a spoof off of it, it just tells you how kind of everybody's aware of this and the life it has taken on. And I was bummed today that Dan and Warwick had no interest in having fun with it. Like, none. Immediately, he was just like, yeah, I remember that video they put out. I hated it. You know, I'm kind of busy right now. I was like, oh, man, come on, Dan. This is your moment. You had one of the great moments. It was a prank call, and you led to one of the great moments. He wanted no part of it. But the Giants had fun with it. Mike did a great job with it. It was really funny. If you haven't had a chance, you got to go see it. Go on your... I'm sure they put it out on Facebook and Instagram and wherever you could find New York Giants content. So it was absolutely hilarious. Mike walking into that room and staring up at the picture and then staring back at them was just classic. It is so well done. It's perfect. And Eli Manning, you got to give it. Like, let's be honest about Eli Manning. Like, the dudes are kind of everywhere. I know he's got his own show now, and it's probably a bit much. And he does the Monday Night Football broadcast along with Peyton. Eli Manning, and Peyton for that matter, but Eli Manning is incredible at this stuff. He just has, for whatever reason, that ability. He's got like he's got comedic timing. Like, there's just something about Eli Manning. He's really good. I mean, he's not the funniest guy. I don't think he could do stand-up or anything, or even act in a movie necessarily, but like in these little videos or these little stupid things that he does, or, you know, there's just something about him. He's just got that charismatic kind of aloofness to him that really comes across. Like, when even the ESPN commercial where him and Peyton are beating each other up as they're getting the tour of ESPN, and Archie like looks back at him and gives them the stare like they're two 12-year-olds. Like, there's just something about those two. They really are impressive. And Eli Manning was great in it. Sean O'Hara was great in it. And it's really a funny video. You got to check it out. And plus, it's just, it's, you know, immortalizing one of those moments that has been immortalized here. And I was, you know, lucky enough, I wouldn't say be part of it. I didn't screen the call, nor did I, you know, talk to him. But I was in the room for it. And it's one of those moments I'll never forget. 888-808-1019. For me, it's always the non-sports stuff that you remember. The only sport thing I really remember was Mike getting into it with Ben McAdoo. Mike getting into it with Ben McAdoo over Odell Beckham Jr.'s behavior. And how he allowed, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. to do whatever he wanted, and there was no discipline there. And it was the most awkward. I literally had to, like, I'm not good at it. I had to leave the room. I had to duck under the table. Like, this just, like, sometimes, like, awkward is, like, tough for me. And that was the most, like, he was just, he would not let it go, man. He just kept peppering him with questions about Odell Beckham. And McAdoo wanted no part of it. Like, other than that, it's always, you know, Harambe the gorilla. Or it's, you know, waiting for the next Pope, or it's Dan in Warwick and the call about the Giants. Like, those are the things I remember most, the non-sports stuff from my time working with Mike. Those are the moments that stand out. And that was definitely one of them that day. Alex Rodriguez coming into the studio is obviously another one, right out of his meeting with MLB baseball, with MLB and Rob Manfred, and storming out and coming straight here. I remember that day, obviously. But that was, that call was funny, and that video is just perfect. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Jarvis in Harlem. What's up, Jarvis?
Hi, how you doing, Chris?
Good, how are you, buddy?
Doing good. I mean, the previous call is saying, like, compared to Giants to the Yankees, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. I don't know what's he talking about. So, I mean, saying that like, you was unfair to the Giants because Daniel Jones, okay, you know, because, you know, saying the Giants suck, the Yankees suck. Okay, first of all, the Yankees make the plays every single year last 30 years.
I think everyone understands it's different, Jarvis. I probably shouldn't even argue that point with him anymore. He keeps trying to make it to me, like, and trying to understand why I feel differently about the Yankees than the Giants. Jarvis, anyone with a head on their shoulders understands that the last 10 years of both franchises, while neither have won a championship, the difference is, you can't even describe the difference. I mean, every year the Yankees are in it. Even if they don't make the playoffs, at least they're in it. The Giants haven't had, they've had one season in the last eight where they're even in it. Where they're even right, in the hunt section of the television screen past week eight. Like, it's like they don't exist in the NFL.
Right. I mean, like the Yankees missed the playoffs in 2023 when they went 82 and they, and then last year they got to the World Series. I mean, so, I mean, like, the Giants missed the playoffs like three straight years. I mean, as a Giant fan, as a football team, so, I mean, so it's just, there's not even a comparison, but they think that if the Yankees miss the playoffs, that they think that Aaron Boone's getting fired. He's going to get fired. And they gave him an extension, so both of them are going to be safe. And so, so they got 49 games left. They got to just pick up the pace and, you know, start winning games. So that's all I got to say.
Yeah, no, I don't think Cashman and I don't think Boone is safe. I'll be totally honest with you. And one of the signs that tells me Boone, I don't know if Boone is safe, is Bill Madden of the Daily News came out with a tweet that literally said Boone should be fired and referenced Hal in the tweet. Bill Madden has had, you know, a relationship with the Steinbrenner family for a while. That is when he starts putting out Boone should be fired. I think it's just, not that it means he will be, but it's something to look at, or at least to take in mind. I don't think Boone is safe. If they don't make the playoffs, I think they would fire him. I really do. I think if they don't get out of the wild card, there's a chance he gets fired. If he gets to another ALCS off of a World Series appearance, he will be safe. That I will get. I think that would be enough. If they get to an ALCS, even if they lose it, if they get to an ALCS, I doubt he gets fired. He just got a contract. He went to the World Series last year. Now it's the ALCS. You know, they'll tell you, you know, they lost Juan Soto and had a pivot. It didn't go great. They lost Garrett Cole at the start of the year. They lost Luis Gil at the start of the year. They lost Clark Schmidt midway through the season. Judge was hurt here and couldn't play right field. They'll come up with excuses if they make it to the ALCS. Outside of that, I think there's a chance he gets fired. And certainly if he doesn't make the playoffs, I think he will. Brian Cashman is another situation. I don't know if he's completely safe, but I would tell you, again, it would be someone different. But Brian Cashman is going to handpick who replaces him. I don't think there's a report like Brian Cashman is fired and we are hiring so-and-so from the Dodger organization or from the Rays organization or from wherever. Like, I don't see that happening. When Brian Cashman's done being the GM of the New York Yankees, it's going to be Brian Cashman is now taking on a role as executive, this, that, or the other, and he's replacing his successor for the day-to-day operations of the baseball team, and it is so-and-so. I don't think it's ever going to be Brian Cashman's fired, and we are bringing in someone from outside the organization. So, like, I think if it goes bad this year, Brian Cashman, they might expedite that. But I do think Brian Cashman's probably safe because I don't think the owner has the stomach to fire him. I really don't. This owner has come in to taking power of this organization and known only one way to do it, and that is trust Brian Cashman. Brian Cashman runs everything. If he makes that decision to move on from Brian Cashman and not keep it in-house and not keep the same, you know, kind of working system, he would have to either, you know, he had to come in and trust someone to build that working system and let them do it, or he'd have to oversee it more closely, or I just don't think he has the stomach for it, and not with the rate of success, quote unquote, as he would view it, would he determine it necessary to do up all that upheaval. I really feel that way. I think the manager can go, and I even think Brian Cashman could be relieved of his GM duties, but he'll be inside the organization and he will handpick his successor. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, 452. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Let's get to your calls as we take you for another 8 minutes till 5 o'clock. Let's go through them as quickly as we can here to end the show. On this Tuesday morning, I'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 2 a.m. as usual, 888-808-1019. Robbie in Lake Success. What's up, Robbie?
Yeah, no, Chris, I wake up, and I hate to bring this thing up with Dan from Woolwork and this giant video. Unbelievable.
It was funny. Epic.
And the way Mike's walking down the hallway, he's like, he looks like the Godfather. And he's just like nice and slow.
Yep.
He opens the door, and you see these four guys are sitting there and at the table. And he, like, turns around and looks at them. Like you said, the way you described it, the only thing I want to say, and this is I got to get to Mike, on the call, the prank call, whatever it was back in the day,
yeah.
He said, why are these teams getting together? You know, why would they do that?
Yeah.
But he, the point is, the Giants, the football Giants, Maron named them after the baseball team. So he really was wrong, even though
there's no other connection besides that.
But it is a true connection. The only reason the football Giants, and that's why they were called the New York Football Giants.
Right.
But like you said, so Mike was 100% wrong on that. I have to throw that in there because that makes the story even better because Warwick is kind of goofing. And Mike said, what are you talking about? They're two teams that no identity. He's wrong. They were completely put together because Mara said, they play in the Polo Grounds and the Giants play there. Well, we'll name them the New York Giants. But yes, like you said, more importantly, probably one of the funniest and epic, more not the call. I think the video was put together so well done. Chris, have a good day today.
Thank you, Robbie. Yeah, no, listen, the video was very well done. It was very funny. It was out of nowhere. Like, it's just, that's just a really good job by the Giants to say, hey, well, you guys are in town. Why don't you shoot over? We'll do this real quick thing. I'm telling you, it's going to get a lot of pub. It's really big here in New York. It'll be fun. And to get those guys to go do it was just, you know, it's a really clever idea. And I couldn't stop laughing when I saw it. You're right, the Mike walking down the hallway, the whole bit, all of it's good. But there's something about Mike just, like, looking at them, looking at the banner, looking back down at them.
They really do get together.
It was just so funny. It's just perfect. That was so funny. Mitchell and Fort Lee, what's up, Mitch?
What's up, Big Mac? How you doing, buddy? Good, listen, a few things. Number one, I'm doing great, except for the Yankees' disaster last night again. But okay. Number one, I didn't realize, you know, there was a bigger crowd Sunday night than Saturday night. They had about 60,000 on Sunday night at SummerSlam, and they only had 53,000 on Saturday night. But what a night. Wasn't that a great night there at SummerSlam? That was amazing.
We had a great night Saturday night, Mitch. It was good to see you. It was, the kids absolutely just had a blast. Everything about it, the club, the Seth Rollins coming out at the end, it was really it was really amazing. We had a great night.
Okay, number two, you know, you were talking about all-time great calls. The one that I still remember and I'll always remember, Jerome talking to Adam Schein when Jerome was being going to come on to the studio and they're going to let him be on the show for an hour to talk to other people calling, and they somehow... He wasn't allowed. That was a great one. But getting now to my bigger goals, the Yankees.
Yeah.
Chris, I really do believe it's time to say goodbye to Boone. It really does. Mm-hmm. They don't seem like they're playing to him. And it's something's not right here. You can see Boone every game. He's getting upset. He's arguing. He's arguing with the coaches. He's arguing with the players. He just seems like the pressure is getting to him now. And, you know, hopefully tonight Judge comes back and Judge can give us some offense here to really, you know, help the lineup here. But otherwise, I don't, this team's looking, they're not looking good, Chris. I got to be honest with you.
I know, but it's just, you know, if Duvall gets three outs on Friday, if Williams gets the outs tonight and gets out Jock Peterson, who's hitting 130, maybe we feel different. Like, that's my only thing. Like, it's such a, like, they didn't play well the next 2 days that bothered me in Miami. But, I mean, that's a game they're supposed to win last night. They have their closer on the mound with the lead. Like, it's not on Boone. Again, and I know many of you, not many of you called tonight and said so, but I'm sure many of you already didn't want to see Williams in that spot. I had no problem last night. I really didn't. I was screaming for either Williams or Weaver to pitch Friday night against Miami. I can't go nuts about putting Weaver in the closer position last night because I want those guys to get acclimated. They're just coming here. They're coming from different situations. He's closing in Pittsburgh, Bednar. I don't want to throw him right into the closer situation. Like, I had no problem doing what he did last night. But now that's it. That home run off of Jock Peterson, after they're talking on the broadcast how miserable he's been all year, hitting 130, he pinch hits in the ninth inning and takes him deep, and you throw to him a hanging changeup right down middle of the zone where he can golf that thing out of there. That's an unacceptable pitch. It's an unacceptable performance, and we talk about consequences, and we talk about holding players accountable. He is no longer the closer. And I'm telling you right now, I got a million people already tweeting me because people are calling me up and asking me why I talk about the World Series, so I'm defending that notion. I don't care about last year's World Series. I don't. I'm talking about this team. I just don't. When people call up and say the whole thing's broken, it's been a disaster for years, like, I push back because I don't feel that way. But this team's a disaster. And I'll tell you right now, for all you people who think I'm just a Boone sycophant and will say anything, if the next closing situation arises and it's Devin Williams coming out of the bullpen, I'm not going to sit back and go, well, I understand. I won't. That's it. Last night changed it. That's it. Two consecutive blown saves, two consecutive nights with home runs, two consecutive just absolute disastrous performances on a game they desperately needed. Nope. That's it for Devin Williams. You can't banish him. He's going to be part of this bullpen, but he is not closing games anymore. Last night I understood it. That's the last time I will. Now you've got more legitimate options. They have established themselves as Yankees. They've had multiple appearances. That's it. They've gotten their feet wet. One of them can close, or even Weaver can close. I'm fine with that. That's it. Boone can't make that mistake again. Not again. Not with this guy. And it's going to be interesting. Judge is back. Let's see what this lineup looks like. With him DHing, how do they fit Stanton in the lineup? I guess they're just not going to. We'll see you tomorrow, too. We'll talk about more of it. More baseball on the way, obviously. Thanks, Fliegelman. Thanks to the callers. Thank you for listening. Talk to you tomorrow, 2 a.m. Out of here. Bye-bye. Sports Radio 101.